time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody, to another podcast. It's Monday, volatile Monday, March 23rd, 2020. It's good to have you here. You know, 2020 is supposed to bring you into everything into focus. Well, it's a little out of focus right now, and Joe's going to try to figure out, what do I report on when the markets are so crazy and disconnected? Well, we're going to hear more about it with his update as well as Les Parker. We've got a great podcast, and we're so excited that you're here. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so thrilled to have you as our listener. We've won some awards, and that's all great, but the biggest reward we have is having you make this a regular part of your way of staying up on all that is going on in the industry. And we're going to talk about as much of it as we can today. In our Hot Topics segment, we've got Josh Friend coming, founder and CEO of Incelerate, and he's going to be talking about how to connect with your borrower, borrower engagement. There's a lot going on in the industry, but the key to great leadership is taking time to engage with your borrowers. If you're an LO listening to this, if you're in the mortgage business, how are you connecting to your customers, whoever your customers are? We're going to be talking to Josh. He says it's no longer B2B or B2C. It's now H2H, human to human. So we're going to talk about that. Can't wait. Treating others as real people. Communicating. We're going to get into that with Josh, who's the president, founder, CEO of Incelerate in the Hot Topic. But first, let's get over and say how proud we are to be part of the Industry Syndicate. Good to be a part of that group. Check out all of the podcasts there. IndustrySyndicate.com. You know, when everyone's, you know, quarantined or at home, you know, doing this social distancing thing, we have got more people listening to this podcast than ever before. And several people are saying, we're finally all getting caught up in all the episodes. And everyone appreciates so much of what we do here. And I want to say thank you to our listeners for reaching out to me. So many of you do through LinkedIn as our producer and program manager continues to post like crazy out there, all the stuff that we have, giving you little excerpts. So we really say thank you to Paul for that and the comments that are coming in. I was talking to one of my clients, Bobby Nicely at Alcova Mortgage. He says, man, is this ever pushing us towards doing e-mortgages, e-everything, as we all work from home? And so he says, I went through your podcast, Dave. It was a great amount of information. Also heard from Lloyd Larson. Man, he's a veteran of the industry, as well as Justin DeMolia of Lenders One. Stephen Cooley, we've had him as a guest. Richard Dietz was here and talking about him. Looking at some of the comments you made. Really good. Thank you, James, for what you're saying. Jackie Cuneo is doing a great job of talking us up, as well as our good friend David Kittle. Happy birthday, David Kittle. It's your birthday today. And we're appreciating all of our friends that are on here. Speaking of friends, let's talk to Amy Moses at MERS. And this coming Wednesday, they have their legal and risk stakeholders webinar. The subject is e-note legal guidance from attorneys for attorneys. Now, you can get signed up. Andy Schell signed up, asked to reach out and get signed up for it. Yeah, while it is designed for attorneys and risk management professionals, I think we're all in risk management, this webinar will explain how e-commerce or how e-commerce laws create legal validity on a national level for e-notes. Man, talk about a timely webinar. So get signed up for it. Email amy.moses, M-O-S-E-S, at theice.com, theice.com, to get registered. The panelists on this will be Sharon Horskamp, as well as David Whitaker, Keith Walsh, and you're not going to want to miss this. Great participants, and we're thrilled to have had them on the program. We get a lot of feedback on what Chris had to say from ICE on the podcast here just recently. Special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Thank you, MBA, for all that you do, especially in these crazy times, helping provide guidance and stability in our industry. A special thank you to Finastra, whose Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues. They do a great job. We have enjoyed working with Finastra, and they continue to be a proud sponsor of us. Marianne, who we've worked with for a long time, Mary Ann Frank is moving on to other responsibilities. Got starting to get to work with Brandy there. So very excited to do that. But shout out to Finastra, as well as Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these co-ops give you a competitive advantage because you get to know people up close and personal. And I really just can't tell you how proud we are to be a part of both of these organizations. And there's different things going on. While they're both collaborative initiatives, they're going about it in slightly different ways. So we're members of both. Maybe you should be as well. Also, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America. We've got Michael Jones coming up on our program next week to tell us more about what the CMLA is doing, as well as some of the initiatives going on. Again, CMLA representing small to mid-sized lenders. Also, Indicom. So thrilled to have them as a sponsor, as well as Incelerate. Josh is here with us today. Incelerate helps lenders close more loans by engaging better with your borrowers, prospects, as well as, and you can't forget about those past customers. Ainsworth, improving your business efficiencies and developing strong leadership. Be sure to go to ainsworthadvisors.com. Check out all of our advisors and the interviews we're doing. We also have some audio clips up there that will be really valuable. And these times, Jay Brinkman's a part of that. We got some clips from him, and you'll want to check that out at ainsworthadvisors.com website. AI Assist, we're using them right now to do some marketing. I got to tell you, they're backed by Conversica. What they do to get your message out, so effective, and we just love how artificial intelligence can help your organization. So check out AIAssist.com. Also, Celebrity Home Loans, Pete Gabrione's interview from November 18th. They are busier. I was talking to David Robden. I was recently in Phoenix with him, and we were talking about how their volume is continuing to grow. And David is bringing in a bunch of capital so he can continue to acquire more companies. So if you hear companies that are looking for a good home, looking to get under a great umbrella, well-capitalized, check out Celebrity Home Loans. Get a hold of Pete Gabrione there or David Robden. As well as Knowledge Coop, our friend there, bringing a learning management system to the market. Ken Perry and the group, outstanding. As well as Mobility RE. Last week's message we had on Ben Terlink. Be sure to check it out. Some real interesting thoughts and strategies that Ben shared last week in the interview on how you can develop key relationships with realtors and recruit top LOs and with empirical data. Also, Modex, also a sponsor, does the same thing, slightly different way. We have clients using both of these solutions. We encourage you to check them both out, modex.com. Velma, as well as VendorSurf. God, I love the guys at VendorSurf and Velma. And Vidyard. I want to say a little bit about Vidyard. Where so much you need to be communicating as leaders in your organization, and you need a tool like Vidyard that allows you to distribute the message out and do so in a consistent manner and have the tools that Vidyard has, so be sure to check out vidyard.com. Love them. We use them in getting the message out. Finally, a special thank you goes to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions each week to this podcast. Let's get over to Rob Van Raphorst with this week's Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. On Monday, MBA President and CEO Bob Brooksmith released a statement applauding the Federal Reserve for announcing its intent to increase the scale and scope of its purchase of agency mortgage-backed securities and agency commercial mortgage-backed securities. This will not only protect consumers by stabilizing mortgage rates for home purchases, but it will also help homeowners to refinance their loans and support multifamily real estate markets. Brooksmith went on to say that going forward, a critically important program will be to provide support to impacted homeowners through forbearance. In order for this to succeed, though, liquidity is required for the residential mortgage servicing sector, which can come from a Ginnie Mae program and a creation of a dedicated Federal Reserve liquidity facility. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Let's get over to Les Parker with this week's TM Spotlight and a macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller. PowerSeller makes hedging easy.
Stimulus dollars of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the germ with the sneeze in your eyes, and it's gone. Loosely in the sky with diamonds. When cash drops from the sky throughout the USA, do viruses die? Who pays for government largesse and the Federal Reserve's big liquidity machine? You! The great repricing, which is happening now, leads to big increases in economic activity. Is coronavirus gone? Loosely from the sky with diamonds. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Oh, yeah, Les. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was starting out. I was going, okay, where are you going? We were just back in Liverpool, my wife and I, before all this craziness broke out. And we were back in Liverpool and going through the Beatles Museum. So I love that song, love the Beatles. It was great stuff. But good job on that, Les. Yeah, we're dropping money from the skies. Watch what happens to our federal debt, what the unintended consequences are. Check out Les's newsletter at tmspotlight.com. Subscribe to it. More and more people are doing so, and then we're hearing from them. They're saying, man, this is really interesting, and they're getting to like and understand Les's music parodies. Joe Farr, good to have you here with us.
Hi, Dave.
Appreciate you, man. Try to help us make some sense of this crazy market. They are just disconnected, disjointed, and dysfunctional. Woo, crazy.
Like we've said the last couple of weeks, my hat goes off to secondary departments because it is wicked out there. Yeah, again, prices are volatile today. They're up over a point and a half from where they ended the day on Friday. A lot of this is driven by what the Fed has been doing over the last few days, last week, and they're going into additional, you know, MBS purchases to help the mortgage market. Stocks are dropping. You know, although today the stock market is down only a little over 400 points. Earlier in the day, it was down closer to 1,000. So we're off the lows of the day, which is nice to see. But, you know, last week was just a roller coaster of price movement with multiple days showing two-point swings between the highs and the lows. And obviously, intraday price changes were common. The volatility came from a lot of sources, you know, as markets shifted out of stocks into safer assets, as people shifted out of safer assets into cash. You know, Fed bond buying caused a great deal of the volatility. Late in the week, they announced reactions to the markets were going to cause them to increase their purchases. So as they made those announcements, that affected the markets, MBS markets, and created additional volatility. Over the last few days, they went from, you know, basically buying a couple billion a day to over 40 billion. And those announcements really did create those big swings, as you might expect. You know, for the week, there was not that big a change in price, 1% increase in MBS prices on a 2.5% security. There's a little more improvement in price on the 3% security. You know, and the Fed also made comments that were more directed to the stock market. And despite all those announcements, the Dow fell another 3,000 points, which we all know. You know, the economic data, as we said last week, really don't matter, but didn't matter. But the, you know, the jobless claims did jump, as you might expect, from 211,000 the week before to 281,000. I'll get into that in just a minute. It could be shocking this week. So looking at, you know, this week, the market's going to be absorbing more what the Fed's done and is doing. Seems like they're doing things every day that are intended to help the market and maybe will help the market, but will also create volatility, continue to create volatility. On Thursday, Dave, the initial jobless claims are going to come out, and that's where I was saying it could be shocking. You know, the forecast is for an increase in the number of initial jobless claims, but I read an article from Goldman Sachs who put out a number that said the initial jobless claims may exceed 2 million. You know, that's up from 281,000. And they said, you know, there's some evidence that that might be a little bit more than what they expected. But even conservative estimates call for 1 million plus new jobless claims. And again, that's up from 211,000 last week or 2 weeks ago. So. And then we will get consumer sentiment to come out this week. And that, too, it'd be interesting to see just how the consumer's feeling about things these days with the drop in the stock market and the, you know, staying at home and all that's been going on, lack of jobs. I mean, it really will. And those things have to have an impact on the housing market at some point because consumers can't be feeling very good about things and likely, therefore, will hesitate to buy new homes. Yeah, that's a short synopsis of a lot that's going on, and I'm afraid I'm not able to do everything justice. But like I said to start, it's just a time, especially for the secondary marketing people, because no matter which direction the market's going, it's bad on secondary. And then when you see it going up and down the way it has been, that kind of exacerbates the problem. So.
Yeah, and then we just saw a headline just pop up saying Boeing is shutting down their production in Seattle. So you just look at how this is going to be volatile for a period of time. We're a little bit close to the highs on the equities today, but I kind of think we're going to be retesting the lows by the end of the day. We'll see how the market closes out. We're not over this. This is going to be continuing a little bit longer, and it's going to be just a roller coaster. And my heart goes out to everyone in the secondary market trying to hedge in these markets. It's not an easy job.
Then you got servicers as well. I know recently the MBA over the weekend requested more from the Fed. And, they got some of what they were asking for late last week. And that was more MBS purchases to help stabilize the market and keep things calm. But they also asked for support for servicers. Servicers are going to be putting out the payments that are not made by people who have lost their job. Saw one estimate that the amount of advances could exceed $75 billion.
Wow.
Servicers are going to have to come out of pocket for that, and the MBA has asked for some assistance regard.
People are so – well, we thought this was the lowest. We didn't think interest rates were going to be this low. We thought for sure this was a great time. Maybe get some comments from Andy on that a little bit later on the Profit Doctor segment. But we certainly have seen this is going to be – a good time to get back into servicing would be worth something. But boy, trying to pick that is like trying to pick the bottom of the equity markets and when to jump back in. It's creating huge investment opportunities for those of us who went to cash, and we did. But some of my upside that I missed, but not anymore, man. Looking for the bottom and as close as I can. So, Joe, appreciate you being here. Your thoughts and comments. You summed it up well. If you're walking by the secondary department, make sure they're doing okay, folks. If they're having one of those days, you'll understand why. Alice Alvey, good to have you here with us. So much to talk about, Alice, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. And she's got this week a legislative update. I got so many questions for you on the ops side, Alice.
Oh, well, I'm happy to help answer them. And hopefully my signal is clear, Dave, but I'll try and talk clearly and slowly.
It's a little choppy, but we'll deal with it. It's not a problem. It's your substance of all that you have to share with us, so people may have to strain just a little bit more. But what you got, and then I want to get your take on the announcement FHFA just put out directing the GSEs to be grant flexibilities of the appraisal and employment verification. So give us your segment, and I got a bunch of questions here for you.
Sure. Okay, so that is in my segment to talk about, too. But I'll start with... Everybody here should be signed up for the Mortgage Action Alliance. Make sure that you are prepared so that when any of the bills related to making an e-mortgage and an e-closing be able to run more smoothly, you want to be there to encourage your congressman to help them realize how, we've got to get these refis through the pipeline. So right now there is a bill for remote online notarization. That's what RON stands for. This is just one small part of, what we refer to. Keep in mind, there's a digital closing process. I think we've got digital application down pretty well. There's a few ink signed, wet signed forms still, but one of the biggest roadblocks to a digital closing is being able to get an e-notarization. And many states haven't adopted this yet for many, many reasons. We've been trying as an industry for 20 years to try and get this done. We've had the technology. Anyway, so keep on your toes when that comes across. Push your congressman through MA, Mortgage Action Alliance, to be able to get that to the top of the pile or perhaps included in some of the other relief bills. Because there are a lot of roadblocks to a true e-mortgage and e-note in some states, about half the states are not set up for this. So we do want to encourage, the federal law won't override any state law, but it will set up a framework and give some of those states a sense of urgency, perhaps, as we try and get the country so we can continue in our industry all the way through closing with an electronic note and electronic mortgage. There are a lot of barriers. For those of you who are interested in this, Fannie and Freddie both have a guide to an e-mortgage and an e-note. And when you read through that, for many years, they've surveyed lenders to find out how many roadblocks there are. And so for those of you who are going, what's the problem? Why can't we just accept e-signatures? There are lots of steps along the way between the warehouse lender, the custodial bank, your subservicer, your servicer, and even to the attorneys, what's legal, and all the way into foreclosure servicing. So just wanted to let you all know that's a big one. So Dave, we can circle to what you were referencing, where PIFA's directed Fannie and Freddie to provide some flexibilities on the appraisal alternative. There's supposed to be an actual memo from Fannie and Freddie by about 2 o'clock today.
Yes, I have some lenders that are just receiving it in my inbox now as we are doing this. I haven't had a chance to comment, but Freddie just released theirs. Fannie released theirs a bit earlier, and so they are being forwarded to me, along with a whole bunch of other things. I'm getting a lot of requests for you. We could just make this hot topic all around you, but we do want to get to Josh. But I want to talk a little bit about what are you guys doing in the states where they're, well, first of all, on the appraisal, I think this is just rolling out. It's hot news. I think it's going to come back to this, listeners. It's who you're selling your loan to. If you're not approved with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you can only hope that your investors that you're selling to are adopting this guidance. So we'll find out. So we'll get more on that. And Alice, we may want to do a midweek program or something, just do an update on some of this, and because there are so many questions. If you're interested, we're getting several requests for us, you and I, to get on and do a quick, kind of like a interim program to talk about this. If you're interested in it, we'd love to.
Absolutely. I think Tasifa gave us some hints. Obviously, our leadership's been in touch with Fannie and Freddie, as I'm sure many of the other lenders out there are having some direct conversations with them. So we have a sense of what we can do to be able to get some appraisals and, you know, really leverage collateral underwriter, the technologies. I think one of the biggest things was re-verifications of employment. And, you know, you can't call the boss's cell phone because that's not an arm's length verification and everybody's working from home. So, you're not able to call into the corporate line in a lot of cases. So they are accepting email. And actually, I love that they're accepting a pay stub. So if you can get a recent pay stub or bank statement that shows the recent deposit, I think what folks are looking for is define recent, you know, and so, of course, they're going to put in use prudent underwriting. So, Dave, we can take a deep dive on that and provide an interim program. Things are changing so much. A midweek program sounds great.
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, we have to move you back to another wherever you were standing because it's starting to break up a little bit. The other thing that's coming in, Alice, that we're hearing about is title insurance. And I want to get your take on this, what you guys are doing at Union Home. And the other one will be on how are you handling with the shutdown, employees being remote, if there's any special provisions. Several people asked us for your comments on that. But let's start with the title insurance. Some counties are not having the full staff or any staff, and there's concern. There's some talk and rumors floating around out there. I hate rumors. We heard a rumor last week that UWM was in trouble. Nothing could be further than the truth. They are doing really well. I know Matt Ishbia. I know Vince Parlov there. And we got a good report that they're strong and healthy, doing better than ever. So, folks, be careful about these rumors. But there are rumors talking about there's special provisions that you can do on your title insurance. There's waivers. In other words, if everyone agrees that even though we can't get this note recorded at the courthouse, if everyone agrees that they're going to accept what was on the prelim, that's good. Well, every attorney I've talked to goes, that's all well and fine, but if something slips in the way of a recording beforehand, it's going to be hard to ignore that. I want to get your thoughts. Alice, have you guys talked about that and how you're dealing with some of the courthouses, the counties that might be not fully staffed or unable to record docs?
Yes, you have to look at, you know, who you're doing business with, right? So this is where knowing your title providers, we're very fortunate to have mutual title in two of our biggest states, you know, in Michigan and in Ohio. Also looking at, you know, that you need to be dealing with a major insurance carrier and a title agency that knows how they're going to handle this, and also looking at gap insurance. Now, we all know that even gap insurance has gaps.
There's gaps in the gap insurance.
Gaps in the gap insurance. But so those are just a few things. I think for now we can take a deeper dive on it as part of the program. But there is a lot to consider there, and business relationships is a huge part of it. And as long as nobody's recording, then we're all in the same boat. But if the recorder's office is not an always but a sometimes, we could have a problem to what you just described. The other thing as far as operationally, you know, we keep using the line, Bill Cosgrove said it this morning, is hopefully you fixed your roof when it was sunny and you're not trying to fix your roof when it's raining. We were very fortunate. All of our partners are on laptops anyway. Everyone. We don't use desktops. So it was easy. You know, we mobilized and got 1,000 people working from home in a matter of a couple of days. A lot of companies that were operating on desktops are still having people in the office and still struggling to mobilize. So, yeah, I'd be happy to share with you some of the tips on how we're operating and doing record volume and still turning loans and closing loans in 27 days or less.
You should see my text messages. Can't wait. Tell us. Post it. Who's your producer? Make sure he lets us know. Okay, yeah, we need to focus in on that. Everyone's looking for guidance on what's going on how to deal with this, especially when you're like post-closing. Who should be in the office? Who can you not get around? And I think almost everyone's figured out a way to having everyone at home. There may be some exceptions, but there's a way to do it, folks. So Alice and I will be back on another program this week. And so, Alice, I'll get you some talking points. But thanks for being here today, and thank you for participating in the Hot Topic segment. So, yeah, wherever you went to, it cleared up, so we had good audio. Alice at the end there. Real, real good. Trying to find a place to move around in the house where you have good audio and we're all dialed in from cell phones and that. Again, that's Alice Alvey. We're going to be doing a special podcast. She is CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Truly one of the leaders in our industry, and we'll be bringing you some more leadership updates later on. Alan Pollock is here with the tech update. Alan, how are you doing down there in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida?
Man, I am doing great, socially distancing myself. You know, David, I'd like to say that we have been, we're e-licking, right? We're e-licking on lending. We have been 10 years completely remote. Right. None of us are. We're using technology. So if we can do it, you can do it. So you definitely you want to make sure that you're practicing social distancing. Actually, a friend of mine from California that I do a lot of business with told me that police are actually starting to pull people over and he thinks this week they'll start trying to make a point of certain people, trying to really force people to not be out if you don't have to be. So important.
Yep.
Very, very important.
There's one question, a lot of questions coming in. You actually got a little garbled when you're talking, which is going to, are we maxing out our infrastructure? Alice was a little garbled there. Who knows? I might be, but you were coming in a little bit, which really goes to voice over internet protocols, the VoIP lines, as well as our conferencing facilities. We're hearing numerous conference services saying, it's getting more and more difficult to dial in. It doesn't matter which one you're using. Hearing the best reports on Zoom, we're using one. I won't mention it, but we are having some struggles on that. So if that's one of the common threads that people wanted me to get your commentary on. If you wouldn't mind giving us a little perspective, what you're hearing.
Yeah, would love to. Actually, the internet is not broken, right? And it's not Netflix, because we've seen a lot of the news about Netflix asking to throttle down the bandwidth of the screen resolutions and such. No, look, there is a website you can go to. It's actually thedowndetector.com. And they've got everything listed there. You know, if you look at GoToMeeting and you look at Zoom, those systems have had some outage. You can actually, if you're a big user of GoToMeeting, you can go to status, status.gotomeeting.com. I haven't found one for Zoom. Zoom's been much more reliable, but with all of the educational lessons and institutions and such moving to Zoom, I'm guessing that they'll probably have some stress. It's about technology. It's about the systems that power the technology and the data centers, and how well do they work? How's the software code? How's all the throughput? How are services work when they fail? They're supposed to heal themselves and auto restart. That's what we're talking about here. Not so much about internet and network bandwidth. Yes, it plays a very important part in it, but it is a very small piece of the equation, in my opinion. I myself have experienced numerous outages on GoToMeeting and others, sometimes just using the phone call. If you don't need the video, save that bandwidth and those servers and the GoToMeeting server farms for other people if you only need the phone call part of the meeting. But that's really what we're talking about here. I got to be honest with you, you know, Zoom, their stock price has exploded. They actually provide free 40-minute 100-guest sessions. And for all educational institutions, they've actually removed the 40-minute minimum. And they have over 10,000-plus schools and institutions that have registered.
Wow.
And you're seeing everything from musicians, yoga instructors, you're seeing bar mitzvahs, weddings, you name it, everyone is doing Zoom.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I was sort of getting to, David, in the beginning, saying the new norm. We are moving to a remote present type of environment. There was this amazing article from Lennar Home Loans, Lennar Home.
I saw that.
And what they're doing is they're doing drive-through notarizations. They did have one employee that unfortunately did pass from COVID-19. And since that time, they've gone actually to where they're allowing people to purchase a home completely remotely with the option for a personal and private tour through FaceTime. And by the way, the reason FaceTime isn't being used as much as Zoom and GoToMeeting is because FaceTime is not available on all platforms. So that's why
that's
you're
true.
Seeing more popularity
yep.
with those other platforms. And what they're doing is they're basically saying, hey, you can drive through, express drive through, you can get your docs notarized and you can work there. They're trying to help their customers work without risk or contact. So that was one of the things I wanted to chat about today. You hit right on it. And, you know, I think where we are now, David, we've been focusing on the borrower end of technology. We're really going to now start focusing on, I think, moving this industry towards e-notes and e-mortgages
oh, yeah.
and remote online notarizations. I mean, Alice, you hit the nail on the head with some of the things you said. I actually today was going to talk about an article. We talked about this back in November. It's from Fitch Ratings, and what they had said is their exact quote, despite the industry enthusiasm for automation, widespread e-mortgage adoption remains several years away, slowed by several obstacles. And what they say is originators and servicers will need to address concerns regarding enforceability, the required technology, system security, and showing borrower consent. And that doesn't even count, right, all of these local counties and states that have laws and infrastructure that need to continue to expand. So we today are going to be looking at the counties and states that can handle all of these e-notes and RONs that Alice was talking about, but we're not going to expand there while we're all working from home. It's going to be a lot harder. And our sort
yeah.
of mission of business is very much more now focused. So things like what Lennar is doing, we're going to still find ways to keep moving this industry forward. We're all going to get creative. And that's really, you know, the other part of what I wanted to talk about today is I wanted to talk about flexibility. Your partners, you know, we're an industry, David, you know this. We're an industry of partnership and collaboration. I would say
yep.
we have the best
more so
conferences.
Than ever.
Yeah, our conferences aren't about flashy times in Vegas and, you know, best keynote speakers. We do have great ones, but our conferences are about moving the industry, moving the needle forward, right? Ultimately, we all work for the home buyer, the homeowner. We've talked about that. And so now's the time to have the right partners. You know, Josh, I've worked with you, our keynote speaker, our Hot Topic segment, Josh Friend today.
Yeah.
I've worked with your company in a couple cases. You guys are great partners. You know, you want a partner like that. Somebody, it doesn't matter whose turn it is to test. It doesn't matter, you know, whose turn it is to verify if something's working or just to say, hey, we've got people that can help you. We've got an outsourced underwriting friend or a department or we have underwriters that are 6 months out that are willing to work, you know, and help you. And whatever it is, even just verifying that, hey, we have extra server capacity. Let's get you over there and talk about the bill later. Whatever it is, you need great partners. And I'm speaking from the technology side. Of course, there's partnership all around. But that's what we have to focus on during these unique times. We're going to continue to prosper. We're going to see the industry move forward. There's going to be somewhat,
yep.
I think, of a lag. Our technology efforts are going to be focused on sustainability. It's going to be focused on business continuity. And there's a lot on the technology side. We probably could talk for 2 hours on this topic. And I want to save time for Andy and the Hot Topic. But really,
yep.
let's focus on keeping our systems and our businesses moving well with what we have done. Like Alice said, hopefully you fixed your roof when it was sunny out, not raining. Work in good spirit of partnership. And with that, we'll get through this really well. And look forward to any emails and any folks that have any questions and looking forward to the Hot Topic.
Yeah, as well. Send them over to alan@tms-advisors.com. Appreciate you being here, my friend. Very, very grateful. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, is in the house. Dr. Schell. Man, oh, man. Looking at the volatility in these markets, we had some questions come in specific for you on MSRs, and I know you study that, you consult. Can't wait to get your contribution to today's program. There's so much you could go with yours, with all that you have to
well,
say.
A couple of things. The first is that from the information from Fannie Mae, and one of the lenders that we're working with is struggling with some of the issues is income continuity. And I don't think
yes.
Alice spoke on that too much yet. But if you're in a market where there's a substantial portion of your employees who are of the pipeline who are employed by industries impacted by the shutdown, be it casinos, gambling, restaurants, airlines, you name it.
Anyway,
guidance was pretty much you have to look at income continuity. Are they still going to have a job? And if they're not, then you have to adjust accordingly. So that's a huge issue for lenders that are concentrated with pipelines of employees who are impacted by this. So maybe next week Alice can talk more about income continuity in the assessment process when you're having to basically reevaluate each borrower's ability to repay tomorrow based on not necessarily considering what was there last month. I did want to also mention talking a little bit about starting to get into some of the MSR issue. So this week on Wednesday in 2 days, I'm talking about hedging again through the MBA webinar. It starts at 1:30 Eastern. So if you want to hear me talk more about hedging, hedging effect, hedging dynamics, elements of hedging, components of hedging, TBA short positions, the effect of price movement, rate movement on MBS price movement, and a negative convexity and the impact on the MSR, I'll be covering some of that then. So the hedging focus is really what does the controller need to know about hedging? Because we know that the purpose of hedging is actually fairly straightforward. We just create a financial structure where if one goes up, the other goes down. And they go up at the same amount and at the same time. So one goes up, one goes down. So really the purpose of hedging then is to preserve the secondary marketing gain on sale. That's the whole thing. We want to, when we issue an interest rate lock commitment to a customer, embedded in that is a gain on sale. The purpose of secondary marketing is to preserve that gain on sale. When we make a loan price today with a lock and we expect to make 3% gain on sale in 60 days or 45 days or 32 days, that actually happens. And when there's extreme volatility, it makes it really difficult for all of the components of the hedging transaction to come together to preserve the secondary market margin. I've done some analysis on the VIX, which is a Chicago Board of Exchange index that tracks commodity volatility.
Right.
And when the VIX gets north of 50, the margin preservation starts to decay. It starts to go down. And when it hits 70 or more, it's almost certainly. And part of the reason is because we transfer hedge value in the TBA short position to the mandatory delivery commitment after the loan is closed, typically. And at that moment in time when we're trying to transfer that expected gain, we may think we're going to make 101 on our loan sale gain because rates have gone up and we have a 2% gain on our hedge. But if the trading desk or the aggregators are freaking out a bit because of the high VIX, they're going to back off their bids. And instead of getting a 101 price, we may get a par or par and a half bid. What that ultimately means is that we just lost some of our secondary marketing gain. So when we start talking about, well, we want to have concessions to be more competitive, we've got capacity issues, so we want to raise rates, but we want to lower rates, we want to get more volume, it's as crazy as it gets. We had this happen a little bit in early 2018, like I said last week, but the thing that's unique about this event is we're seeing MBS not track on a 10-year to the worst that I've ever seen it in my memory. So that affects the ability to preserve margin. It's almost to the point where when things get this bad, it's almost better to go best effort simply because you don't have that same degree of risk when you try to get to the TBA pair off and the mandatory delivery commitment. So the one solution to this, though, is to do Fannie Mae forwards, longer-term Fannie Mae forwards, and also really big companies that can do delivery versus payment, actually create the MBS security and then sell that. That's really the perfect hedge, but then you've got pull-through because what happens if you're in a market where suddenly
so
a bunch of people can't close because their jobs are imperiled, and so you don't know if they're going to have a return-to-work date. You know the VVOE has to have a return-to-work date if there's a furlough. If you don't have that return-to-work date, you can't close because you don't have a valid verbal verification of employment or a VOE, either one. If you're furloughed, you got to have a return-to-work date. So your pull-through now is messed up. So even if you are delivering into mandatory, even if you are delivering into a security, which should be a perfect hedge, assuming normal volume levels. If your pipeline starts to fall, now all of a sudden you've got a shortage of loans. So all these pieces fit together as like 15 moving targets all circling around one thing, trying to make it all work out well.
Yes.
So hedging stuff
crazy.
Is complicated. I'm going to talk about it more on Wednesday if anybody wants to listen.
Boy, I recommend that. So recommend. Looking at the VIX today, it was at 71.25 at 8:40 this morning, and then it fell to 61.42 at 12:20. It's on the upswing again, but that just gives you an idea. There's just so much disconnection around here, which is what Joe was talking about. So,
and last week it was up to 80.
Yeah, and it was up at 80. Yeah, just nuts. If you look at this, it's just no chart available for today. I've got it up here looking at it, but Andy Schell, Prophet Doctor, Dr. Andy Schell, a good friend. If you ever want to have great barbecue and a great conversation over barbecue, get old Andy Schell. If you want to do it remotely, go grab barbecue. He'll eat it at home. You eat it there, and you just will want to talk to him. The guy's just a wealth of knowledge, information on so many topics. The best part, he breaks the complex down and makes it simple. Sign up, folks, for this webinar. You will learn something. Go, I don't hedge. I don't do that. I don't care. Go out and sign up anyway. It'll give you more knowledge, more understanding of what's going on. Andy Schell, appreciate it. And he's also my sponsor for the CMB.
Exactly. We're trying to get that moving forward too, Dave. Good job.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. Appreciate it. Good job today. Folks, that ends the regular weekly update. And so if you're listening on an ongoing basis or listening live, just stay right here. We're going to continue on. Welcome to the Hot Topic segment, everybody, and we want to welcome our special guest, Josh Friend, founder and CEO of Incelerate. We're going to be talking about borrower engagement. Also, thrilled to have Josh as a friend as well as an advertiser, one of our newer advertisers. There's a lot going on, Josh, in the mortgage industry, and the key to great leadership is taking time to engage your customers. It's no longer about B2B or B2C. It's now H to H, human to human. And I'm excited to have you here tell us all about it. Before we do that, let's get in a little bit about your history, about your journey in mortgage lending, and what brought you to be the founder and CEO of Incelerate.
Hey, absolutely, David. Thank you for having me on. This is definitely a very interesting time in the mortgage industry and just what's going on in the marketplace. But my background is, I've been in this industry for 21 years. I started off as a loan officer 21 years ago, and I started my first of many successful mortgage companies in 2003 was my first business. So always been using technology around it and trained loan officers and really been in this industry for a long time. So really been enjoying listening to a lot of the show and just the different parts on from technology to the secondary market to what's taking place. And I think someone said how we're waking up to the new norm right now in our space. So had a lot of experience in this industry, so it's very near and dear to me. My son now at age 21 is now a loan officer as well. So I have family. And he's actually, he moved back in because they're working from home. So I said, why don't you work in my office and then work from my house? And that way I can do a little training with him a little one-on-one time now. So this is definitely something I really pay a lot of attention to.
Well, that's what's so good about this is the fact that we are able to have everyone join us. Our oldest daughter is coming home. Our youngest daughter went to her in-laws, and they're having a time up there. But, we're working from home, and I think it's bringing us closer. Like one person said, I think God gave us all a time out, told us to go to our homes and to our rooms. I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny. But anyway, with the coronavirus, we're seeing people working from home. How can lenders use technology today, right now, to assist them in allowing their workers to more successfully work from home?
That's a great question. I think this is a really great time for technology. I can tell you one simple way, or maybe to lenders that aren't able to do this, it's not simple to them, but for our lenders, it's just inbound call routing and lead routing. What do I mean by that? Mm-hmm. Well, you have customers calling your company trying to talk to loan officers or processors or someone to that effect. And if you sent everyone at home, unless you have a mobile phone system that allows you to do that, you are going to have a challenge. Our system has out-of-the-box inbound call routing. So, for example, so you can pull a phone number from our system. A phone number is given out, and you can use that for your toll-free number for your consumers to call in on. That number comes actually to us. We do all the back-end technology. We look at the phone number, who's calling, find out what borrower that belongs to. We know which loan officer or processor that customer talks to. And then we will route that call to it, whether it's their cell phone, their home phone, whatever phone. Yeah. So automatically overnight within 2 seconds, they put their phone number in there. And now their cell phone, desk phone, mobile phone is now the mobile phone, is now an office line as well. And if they do click the call through the system, they can actually use the caller ID of their office line. So you can completely keep that being in the office, but having a mobile workforce out there that can be pushing out through the cell phones. Also, think about leads. If you're not shaking someone's hand and that consumer is not necessarily coming into the physical store anymore to get business, but more people than ever are online looking, well, what do you do with those leads? Again, our system takes that information. Someone puts a lead online. It finds out, does it belong to a certain loan officer? If it doesn't belong to a certain loan officer, but it's just a general inquiry for the company, well, you have to figure out based off state licensing, based off product type, loan amount, all these different things, our system will route that lead to the appropriate loan officers who are available, make their phones ring, engage the customer, and make sure that consumer, whether they're walking into your store or they're going online, they're going to get the immediate response that they need. So that's just a really simple way just right now for all the lenders out there that need help with managing your customers. You know, our system does that for you. It'll manage the phone, the calls, the route the calls, so you can just be, you know, out there doing your business like every other day.
Well, that is such I knew what you did, but I was just pulling it together with what's going on with the coronavirus. You know, I skipped over something I wanted to cover because I think you have a unique perspective on what you see going on with technology. Obviously, you've created a product. You've always been innovative. And all my conference, when I first met you, I started hearing about the things you've done for over the years. And I'm going, this dude is one of the most innovative, stay ahead of things guys. How have you done that? How have you accomplished that? I think there's people listening to this. In fact, I'm seeing some of the text messages are coming in. Wanted to learn more about how did he get to the point of anticipating this and seeing this?
Yeah, I guess I was lucky enough first to work for a company. It was IndyMac Bank's first call center. It's called LoanWorks. So when I was 22 and I was a loan officer, I worked for a consumer direct call center. So okay. The thought of where the market's going was something that I was in front of, you know, 20 years ago. So, you know, if you really look at the space, just look at everything. You know, I've been doing a lot of talks about, you know, I use this analogy between Sears and Amazon. Sears was the original Amazon. They sold products through catalogs and pictures, and you never had to go into a store to buy a product from Sears, right? You could buy it through the catalog.
That's
and you
right.
can order stuff.
Right.
That's what Amazon does. Difference was, Amazon understood much earlier on that the consumer and where technology was going, it's just going to make that transaction easier. So it's, for me, it's just been, you know, about understanding where the market's going. You take a look at all of our industries. All of our industries have started switching to consume, like a, more of a consumer direct, where consumers are directly seeking out
that's
their products
and services.
That's
where I wanted you to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether it's shoes. I use an example of clothing brands. And this is, I think, a really good way to highlight it. If you really think about the last 5, 10 years, let's say 5 years, any new clothing brand that's come out, minus a celebrity clothing brand, but I'm going to say specifically, let's say shoes, because for me, this has been near and dear to me because I buy them, has been online clothing brands. Joybirds, Zick's shoes, all these different types of shoes, they're all direct to consumers. They're no longer, there's no new store brand clothes. It's all direct to consumer, whatever it is. So that's just where the market's going. So, you know, back to what you said, human to human, it's still human to human, right? So one person will talk to another person, and that's still that connection. So when you do this direct to consumer and you do this digital mortgage thing, you still have a consumer on the other end of that transaction. That for the average American, the largest financial transaction they're ever going to do is going to be a mortgage. Plain and simple. They want help. They want to talk to someone. So our system helps them do that. How do you stay in front of, engage with your customer?
I have so much to dive into that. We're going to get into that. But Alice, I know you may have to be running off, so I want to turn on your mic and get your any questions you have with Josh. Anything that, as you're listening to him talk, imagine working from home, having this technology that he was talking about, things that come to mind? I'm thinking about regulation a bit from a regulatory standpoint.
Yeah, let's talk about how you handled the regulatory side, because obviously that's one lenders like to know you've covered for us and we don't have to think about.
Yeah, I think that the regulatory side, I think that's actually a really good highlight of the system. So the, not only does our system do calls, it also does text messaging, bi-directional text messaging. So from compliance side, if you're a lender, you actually want control and records of your phone calls and text messages with your consumers, just like you do with your email platform. Right, if you're a lender, if you're a name brand lender and you have find out your loan officers are using a different email address, let's say, and they're communicating through their Yahoo account, that's what they're handling all their business, you would probably say that's not okay, because how can you track that? Well, having a platform like ours, these consumers are now, everything's being tracked. You can actually record the phone calls if you want as well. So you can have every call to and from the consumers recorded. You can have all the text messages in one spot. So now from a regulatory compliance issue, and I can tell you from, when I was at People's Bank, we use our system. That's originally we built the system for People's Bank. We would have an issue or complaint of some sort, and the regulator would say, hey, I want to see the Jones file, and I want to understand how the communication trail went with them. Well, our system had all the communication in one spot. So very easily you can say, well, let me pull up the Jones file. And this worked. This was actually very beneficial for the bank, because when we would have complaints of someone saying that someone didn't call or that this was said or that was said, we could just pull up the file and say, well, wait a minute, let me just look here. There's been 23 phone calls from us to them, 17 from them to us, and here's every single phone call. Would you like to listen to them all? Let's exactly find out exactly what was said. It made it really easy for compliance. So that is, it is a very big part of compliance that we can track that stuff for.
Alan, you've known Josh for some time, and you've worked with him. You gave him some really nice kudos on there. Let's get into this from the technology standpoint, Alan. And
sure. I think, Josh, now more than ever, the representation of your brand with the borrower up front, answering the call right away, staying, yep, keeping in contact, but keeping them notified through the process and knowing know your borrower better. I mean, what, especially today with how busy our staff is as a lender and, yeah, everybody being remote and the stress on the organization is so much different. What kind of tips could you say would be important for today?
Yeah.
So I think that's a great question, Alan. And it's really something we've tried to solve here at Accelerate. Consumers now, let's go back, 10, 20 years ago. You had radio, you had television, you had print ad, you had direct mail. Consumers are only in a handful of places to read and to interact with. Today, I can't even name all the social media applications that are out there and all the different channels you have. Everything you can think of, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, just those are the more popular ones. Then you have online, offline, radio, you have podcasts, you have all these different areas where consumers are at. So I think that the thing that we really try to help lenders with is, how do you stay connected with the consumer who's now in 6 or 7 different channels? And for us, it's automation, really, right? That's the great thing about technology, is automate things. So instead of having to have a loan officer understand how their last 300 people they spoke to over the previous 6 months is doing, the system can automate that anywhere from helping tap it into borrower intelligence, understand where the consumer's at in their journey, whether they're looking for a home, pulling their credit, to how they're interacting and communicating to them through Facebook or Instagram or direct mail. I think we've all had the experience. You go online, you look at, I'm going to say shoes again, a pair of shoes or a car. The next thing you know, you see that picture of that car, you see it where? You see it in your Facebook feed, or you see it on a banner ad. Well, that's that experience that any lender right now at any size could use a platform like ours and instantaneously turn on and automatically engage your consumers in Facebook, email, direct mail, Instagram, Google Ads, phone calls, you name it. The system will automate communication. I think that's really what we help our lenders with, is not just the technology to do it, but the know-how to do it. Actually going in, yeah, and sitting down and having the right communication strategy. Because you can have a lot of great technology out there. There's a lot of lenders have great technology, but the know-how to implement it, that's the next big, I think the next big hurdle for a lot of lenders is how to implement it, when to implement it, how to best manage it.
Yeah. And, Josh, if I could just ask you one other question, and that would be for lenders that are not worried right now how long we're going to have this new sort of environment and they need to get the right system and the right technology partner in place. How soon can you get someone up and running, right? I guess there's a small versus, yep, a medium versus a large type of implementation. What would you, yep, suggest?
I can tell you the last time we did our study, our average turn time from kickoff call to everyone's live on the system, completely trained and being used was 34 days. That includes LLS integration, wow, system integration. Yeah, our rollout of our technologies is fast. You know, one of the great things, you know, David, you said that people wondered how I've done this all these years or what I've been doing or how I've been doing this.
Yes, yeah.
We've you know, again, I'm just to say luck. Right? Luckily, about 4 years ago, we decided to rebuild our system for the fifth time. And that's what technology is today. But when we rebuilt the system, we rebuilt it to be able to be rapidly scalable, very easy to roll out, and very little on the programming side, I mean, very much admin driven. That way, when lenders come in, we knew that we could easily support them, get them up, turn them on, and more importantly, they don't need an expert on site, right? A lot of these technology providers out there, you need experts that work for you to know how to use the software and the technology. You don't need those with our platform. You know, we really built this so it's user-friendly, right, so anyone can log it out and then turn it on and get it going up.
Yeah, and I know I will say I've worked with your tech staff. They are great. So if anyone's looking, I'll give you a plug. If anyone's looking to work with Josh and his team, they are super, you know, it's not just advertisement. I've done it, and they are super easy to work with.
My support staff are not out in front of me today. They're working from home. I'm working from the office. Technically, we're in California. We are considered a necessary sector because we do handle, just like I said, telecommunications. We handle phone call routing, and we allow our lenders to work from home. But usually the whole staff sits in front of me, and I can't tell you how often I get, you know, I hear from our lenders all the time how great our staff is. So I really do have, we really do have a good team here. So I do appreciate that, Alan, that you've worked with them. And, you know, right now I think it's an exciting time in the industry. You know, earlier you guys were talking about rates. I just wanted to throw it out there. If anyone's listening live, if you do know or don't know, the Fannie Mae is at 103.22. So we're up almost 500 basis points from 2 days ago. So if you want to talk about volatility, just throw it out there. We're definitely seeing it right now.
Yeah.
But Dave, here's the thing. If you are that, so just think about this. Our lenders right now, so if let's say you talk to someone on, you know, the 19th, so that would have been Thursday, the Fannie Mae coupon was down to 98.22. Right now it's at 103.22. It's 500 basis points. Well, if you were taking applications on Thursday or talking to customers, and they were calling like crazy because all our lenders are fielding tons of calls. Well, on a day like today, when rates are all of a sudden super low, how do you get that message out immediately to all those consumers and say, hey, rates are low, call me now, it's lock a loan? Our platform does that for our lenders. So that's the type of automation that you don't have to rely on the staff to do it. Automate it.
Yeah. We got some questions coming in about digital marketing trends and tactics that lenders can use. And based on your experience, what have you found that are best practices? Alan kind of asked us to engage with their borrowers. Talk a little bit about those trends that you're seeing, and then we're going to get into some specifics about your product.
Yeah, so here's real simple. You can use our product to do this automated, or you can do this in the manual process. But right now, anytime you talk to a consumer and interact with a consumer, you have ways to actually go find them and actually market to them through different channels. So I'll give you an example. Facebook has something called Custom Audience. So does Instagram. So does Instagram, and so does LinkedIn. Facebook's Custom Audience means this. I could go in there, create an ad campaign, and I can put in there Josh Friend as a target, David Lichten as a target, and whoever else I want, name and email as a target. That will then find that person on the platform and serve them an ad. So think about this. I'm a lender. If you come to my website, you apply online, I have you in my database, why wouldn't I go ahead and push out an ad into your Facebook feed? Also, why wouldn't I take that and also push it out through Google? Why wouldn't I also, if you come to my website, here's a really easy one, why wouldn't I retarget? So this is, all lenders should be doing this. If someone comes to your website, you can use a Google cookie, you can drop it on their desktop, and then when they go to other websites, you can even do it to where when they go to YouTube, if you have a video about your mortgage company. This is not overly complicated, difficult stuff to do. We help lenders do this all the time. We automate it for lenders, but you can go and put a cookie on someone's computer so that way when they go to YouTube the next day to watch videos about who knows what, they're going to see a video about you and your mortgage company, how wonderful you guys are. Next thing you know, you've become the biggest brand to them of anyone because you've spoken to them, You've emailed them. You're in Facebook. You're on YouTube. You're in their
and
banner
you're ads. In their, yeah. And you're not
everywhere.
Having to spend a pile of money spamming all,
no.
all over everywhere.
That's
and
right.
that's called
that's
a,
right.
what is that called? A custom customer, did you say?
But, well, that's called a custom audience.
Oh, custom audience. Okay.
All custom right. audience, that's right. Yeah, custom audience. And then our system automates the process for lenders. So when a consumer comes in, we automatically do all these things and we automate it. But you can do it manually if you want. The reality of it is, here's what's great about it. Not only are you everywhere, you've become relevant. So if you call someone every single day, I call you today, call you tomorrow, call you the next day, I become annoying. If I email you every day, I get blocked. If I text you every day, I get blocked. But if I email you one day, call you the next, show up in your Facebook feed, show up in YouTube feed the next day, text you, then call you, I'm not annoying, I'm relevant. And I'm there when
yes,
you need
me.
Yes,
that's good.
It's a
yeah.
very big difference between
that's
the two.
That's really good. That is really, really good. That's really, really cool. That kind of goes into the...
Yeah, and it's easy. It's easy for lenders to do it. That's the great thing about
yeah.
it. I mean, David, you're right. It is cool because... And just take a page book out of Amazon. Any one of these other people out there that are online, think about it. When you go shop and you look for whatever you're looking for, next thing you know, it's everywhere. Lenders can do the exact same thing very easily, and it's not expensive. It's not like this isn't a huge amount of money. This is going to make you a ton of money, right? The NBA did a study a few years ago, and the average consumer only went back to the lender 1 in 4 times, their previous lender. So lenders lose 75% of repeat business. Terrible.
Yeah.
But in the same study, when they asked consumers about this, they said, would you go with your original lender? Over half of the consumers said, absolutely, I would have went with my original lender. But what they said was, but when I was looking for a refinance, they weren't there. It's not a matter of they didn't want to do business with them. They just weren't there. Hey, I'm buying a house, and Sally Smith called me, and, you know, I really want to talk to Tina Johnson, but, you know, Sally's in front of me, and guess what? I'm buying a commodity, right? And if I'm buying a commodity and this person's in front of me giving me service, that's who I'm going to go with now. That's how this transaction is changing. So lenders can really keep those customers in front of you. I mean, you've spent time. They've done the transaction with you. They trust you. Get their business over and over again.
There are so many reasons people need to get to you. Let me get to a couple quick questions that have been emailed in. So in a real brief, talk briefly about how you could route calls. That caught the attention of one of our listeners.
So the way it would work is you would actually pull a phone number from our phone system. So our phone system, would they can actually go in there, they could request an 800 number, and they would give them the 800 number. That 800 number would be the number they could give out to all the customers to call into. Or you could forward their current switchboard number to that 800 number, and it would do the same thing. So based off of inbound call routing, so what happens is we look at the caller ID of the customer calling in. And based off the caller ID of the customer calling in, we then route that call. What we do is we then know, okay, so this call is coming in for Gina, and Gina's phone number is 714-536-12212. We know that on our side. We actually, the call comes into us, and then we call Gina's cell phone or desk phone or whatever phone it is, and we more or less are making like a three-way call, if you will. Our system's on the line with the call at the same time post transferring the customer over to Gina. And as soon as the call hangs up, it's all on our platform. So that way we can also record the call if they want as well.
Now, there's someone popped up, can you do that everywhere now? It seems like everyone assumes that calls are being recorded, because the NSA, I assume. But what are the guidelines on a best practice that you're finding most people doing on that?
So the guidelines and what they say, you have to let someone know you're recording their call. As long as you let them know, this call is going to be maybe recorded or monitored for quality assurance, or you can play a video or a small wave clip that when someone calls in, which we're all very used to it.
Yep.
If you are calling them when you're outbound calling them, if you want to record the outbound call, that becomes a little more tricky because you have to train your staff to tell, hey, just let you know this call is going to be recorded for quality assurance. So that's the tricky part is on the outbound call is being able to train. If you want to record the call, your staff has to let them know the call is being recorded.
Okay, so that's the deal. Just so long as there's some time notification there, then that's universal across all 50 states. No, you're not violating laws. Just as long as you let them know.
That's right.
Good. Yeah, and then the database it is there, it's it related. So if you have whatever LOS system out there, is the calls then and the communication, the comm logs, then updated in the LOS system, someone's asking, or are they separate? How do they pull the two records together?
Yep. So our platform sits, everything's recorded and managed in our platform. Our platform integrates to bidirectionally to LLSs. So bidirectional integrates to Encompass, bidirectional integration to Byte, bidirectional integration to Calyx Point. There's probably four or five other proprietary systems out there. So we're taking information and we're real time. We're reading the databases. And what's great is we can sit there and we can read the database. We can also read a servicing queue as well. So we do this for servicers as well. We help route servicing calls based off the servicing queue.
Okay. Good. Well, we've got a lot of people are, I'm just going to start texting back, call you. They've got a lot of questions. This is really, especially with you in this day and age, how relevant is this podcast today?
I know, right?
When everyone's working from home, we could have picked a better time. Man,
that's
excellent
right.
information. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you? What's your website?
Yep, it's inselerate.com. I'm going to spell it out. It's just inselerate.com. You can email me if you need to, josh@incelerate.com or sales@incelerate.com to talk to one of the sales staff. But we'd obviously love to take any questions or see how we can help any lenders out there right now.
Boy, how timely, how timely. Josh, sometimes it's so easy how this programming podcast works. It just works out so well, and this is so timely you'd be here with us today. Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled. I want to say thank you to being a sponsor of the podcast. Also, just really want to have you back, talking more about technology. Every time I talk to you, I'm going, this guy is just ahead of the curve. I just want to invest in some of the things you're doing so I can enjoy the upside from an investment standpoint. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for being with us. Check it out, Incelerate.com. Get yourself signed up with Josh and at least pick up the phone and call him. Folks, I want to say thank you so much for being here. Next week, we've got Michael Jones coming back on the program. Michael is the chairman of the CMLA, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America. We're going to be talking about all they're doing and how they engage on behalf of small to mid-sized lenders. They work hand-in-hand with the MBA. You will not want to miss this discussion next week. I also want to say before we go, a big thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Finastra, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, the CMLA, Indicom, Incelerate, who's been our guest today in the Hot Topic segment, as well as AinsworthAdvisors.com, and AI Assist, Celebrity Home Loans, growing fast. Check those guys out. As well as KnowledgeCoop, Mobility RE, Modex, as well as Velma, VendorSurf, and Vidyard. Thank you so much for being here, folks. Have a great week. We're working from home. Your commute is now like what mine is, out the back door into my office. Appreciate you guys. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.